Okay. We're holding on page 811 about the machlokes of Korach. Last year we had seen Torah Min HaShemayim and why this was so important. And now the real issue is, there are machlokes in Gemara and other places. Why is this machlokes bad? Secondly, even if it's machlokes, what was the problem? Was it like machlokes? It's strange that should be it, and for that such a severe punishment. So he says like this. This is Rabbeinu Bechaya. Im kemois kol adam. Moshe Rabbeinu Zal Mordov Adoyme. The Chazal gave a mashal to what this machlok is all about. Leshush bin bito shel melech sheya edoyseh biyadei. There was a chaperon of a king's daughter who testified to her being a psula. So one of those people in the party got up and he cursed the shushbin. He said, and he said, you're full of it. If you don't punish this person severely, I'm going to agree with him. Because, like, if you can let him get away with it, then obviously it's true and I'm wrong. So I guess I must kill this one. If this person is going to die a natural death, it'll force me to believe that who knows if Hashem sent me. Listen, Hashem's not reacting. And so to Michio said, if, in other words, I'll also have to confront the evidence. And so on. Next paragraph. V'dova yaduhu shamachlokes hazeh hoyasibas bidla Torah kulo. This machlokes against Moshe would have destroyed the entirety of Torah. Shazeh cholokolav v'yom binyan echad v'zeh cholokolav binyan acha. Everybody will, everyone's got the piece of Torah that bothers him. That one guy is fine with lo sirtzach, he has a problem with lo signov. One has a problem with kiburav. Let's talk a little bit about the first point. So there's one of the memches dvarim shatar nikus behem is emunas chachamim. People have misconstrued what emunas chachamim means. One of them is that chachamim know everything, like sort of a rebbisha type of thing, that chachamim know how to cure diseases and they know how to predict the future and tchias ameisim, just name it. That's wrong. No Rishon says that. What emunas chachamim means is the belief that chachamim who gave us over the Torah did their best to give over what they heard when they say it so, rather than putting their own words into the Masoras. In other words, the integrity of the process of Mesira is an absolute must. We can, whether a person believes Chazal this or Chazal the other thing, but the one thing, if Chazal said we have a Mesoras to this effect, then all the people in that line did their very best to give over the Mesoras as accurately as they could. Could there be mistakes that? Possibly. But it's the best we have. And anyone who cuts corners on that, basically, everything goes. There's no, you need, unless you have a standard that's unquestionable, then everything is up for grabs, and people don't understand that. Most of the Torah we have, the vast majority of halachas we have, are Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rabbanans. And if we don't have the ability, if we don't understand that as best as could be, this was given over with full integrity. Could there have been a mistake? Certainly could have been a mistake. But are we in a better position to know it, or Chazal? The answer is Chazal. And we chances are that we will be ruining something rather than reconstructing something to its original format. So we don't tamper with that. And if you do, in what's bad about it is, then nothing is kaddosh anymore, because everything is up for grabs. That's a very, very important piece to understand why, when their arguments are on things that are fundamental, like the integrity of the tradition of Torah Shabbat Peh, which for us is the absolute cornerstone. When people come along, they say that the rabbis, if a person comes along and says that the rabbis deliberately pushed women out of the public arena because A, B, C, or D. So it's one thing, if Chazal say something as sort of being the Masoris for something, as being a limud and a pasuk and so on, and someone says it, the problem with the person is then just another step to denying all of Torah, because all the Torah we have came from Moshe. Moshe is the one who came down from the mountain with the Torah. Maybe Moshe had his axe to grind, and Moshe put some of his own stuff in. And I guess there's the better way of putting it is, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to give us a Torah in order for us to do what's right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose not to give us a Torah from Sinai straight, kind of hand delivering it. He gave it through Moshe. If that process is flawed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is flawed. That's Batson, what you're saying. Even if you'll say errors crept in, which is very possible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to work that way, and therefore we're doing right. So somebody recently gave a speech, and his point was that Moshe Rabbeinu was a lousy, lousy administrator, and so on and so forth. That was his take on it. So people were naturally a little bit upset. And you know, how can you say about Moshe is that? I don't think that's a problem. The problem is not saying about Moshe Rabbeinu. What in effect he's saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lousy in human resource department. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had a headhunter that was much better, he would have found somebody a lot more capable than Moshe. That's where the problem lies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe and knows Moshe and chosen to be the leader of Kal Yisrael. And what we learn from here is, what is meant to be, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe, then there's a reason why somebody with his set of skills was meant to be the leader, unless the Torah points out an issue. So Torah points out an issue, Torah points out an issue. But in a case like that, your issue is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not with Moshe alone. Okay, now he says also, he said, we're talking here about something very fundamental. The undermining of Torah collapses everything. And that's why their punishment, Shemayim and Aretz, are the two outermost pillars. It's like, that's the basis for the world. You know, the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was he created Shemayim and Aretz. So undermining Torah like that is tantamount to causing Shemayim and Aretz to collapse, and that's what they were going to do. Okay, the next piece is in Eben Ezra. And it says, "Vimbriya Yivra Hashem." Kosav Rabbi Avram. This is Ramban is quoting the Eben Ezra. Yesh Oimrim ki Briya Torah al Himotze Yesh Me'ayin. So the problem with the pasuk is like this. It says, "Vimbriya Yivra Hashem." HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a new creation, and the earth opens up, and so on. What's a new creation? So Eben Ezra says that Briya is Yesh Me'ayin. So he says, "Ukvan nifku medinas rabbis v'yoda dornben shayla." Earthquakes are common. I mean, they're happening all the time. So what does it mean, bria yivra, something that was never happened before? It doesn't make any sense. This is part of our world is earthquakes. So he says, "Aval pirusha ketam gzeira min bara oisain." The word bara, the Ramban says in many places, means to cut, to declare, to decree. It means like HaKadosh Baruch Hu carves out into the ground. That's what the bara means over here. Vanochen shetoyim ala motzi dove ma'ayin. He says, however, I honestly think that bara is a type of lashon that is used on dove ma'ayin and yesh ma'ayin. Ki ein etzein lashon kodesh moir al ze zulosim lazeis. The only thing we have for creation is the word bara. Avlo inyan ki bekia sadom einen abriya mechudeshes. He says earthquakes are not new. Avul psicha sa'aretz as peel of lochash, but at the earth open a mouth, swallow and close it as something new. Lenia moilo ki kasha tiboka adomak meshnasas pom rabbi birashnik zalzala tishoya psucha. When there's an earthquake and the earth opens up, it stays that way. Gam yumole habeka mayu yasekagamim. You get lakes, you get you get rivers. That's normal earthquake. To open and close, there was a chiddush. So Ramban says what happened was the tzura that it happened was new and had never been done before. Okay, let's take a look at the next ones. Rabbeinu Bechaya, who's commenting on the uses of Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke. The Imbriya Yiv Hashem, Hiskiloshen Briya, Shuloshen Moira al Metzius Yesh Me'ayin, Ubola Hoyrois Kaya Pella Benesa Godla Zeke Pella Hidishoilo. He's trying to say that it was as extraordinary as Briya. Vinira, Kiahoya Kosov Roy Loima, Vim Briya Yivra Likim, Hiloshen Beshbar Likim. He said, for many reasons, the word Elohim, the name of Elohim, would have been a lot more suitable, because the name of Elohim is Midas Hadin, it's Briya Solom, and that's what he wanted. In Moshe Rabbeinu's Moshe Rabbeinu v'derechal uses Shem Yuchad, v'enyan mipnei she'ein nevuoso shlichusa ela b'shem am Yuchad, v'chein eskel malo zeis teidun k'Hashem shlachani, ki me'amida anikr zois yivod ayem k'u shliach Hashem am Yuchad. Now let's talk about this a little bit. Let's explain what Rabbi Nochai is asking. Isn't the Shem Elohim usually used to depict punishments, Midas Hadin? So his answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu always uses Shem Hashem, and then he says, but it's inappropriate. I mean, what's his answer? And he says, Umipnei shechates achoytem elokov demoid, v'miku shechase birka ter laka yisodis kemai mekatzer sheilon. Now let's explain. He's offering explanation that why Shem Yuchad is used. So let's understand what that means. The shallow way of looking at Midas Adin versus Midas Harachmim is that, well, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, it's Midas Adin. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does right, when he's good to people, that's Yudke Vavke, and so on. That's a very shallow way of looking at it. A deep way of looking at it is as follows. Let's take two people. Let's take a parent. A parent is a person whose main job or main goal is to be as nice to his kids as he possibly could, to be good to them and to give everything good in the world. Sometimes you need to punish. That's who. The person who serves as the prosecutor or the executioner for a country, his main job is to mete out punishment and so on. You have a criminal is dealt with by the Department of Justice. a nation attacking me is dealt with the full mustering of the entire nation and the army and all-out war. The difference is, where is the issue? Is it a prat? Is it a klal? In other words, the big picture of Kadosh Baruch Hu is a meitiv, and part of that picture is that you need sometimes to punish. So somebody is an American citizen, he proclaims loyalty to America, America's interest in his welfare, but when he does something wrong, there's a branch, Department of Justice, that deals with punishing him appropriately, reining him in, rehabilitating, whatever it's needed. But when another country comes to destroy America itself, it's not a department in America that deals with the issue. It's the entire, everything in America deals with it. Everybody picks up a gun and fights, because we're talking about not someone within the context of an American of an American person doing something. We're talking about somebody who wants to destroy American people. When a person does an aveira, so that belongs to Midas Adin, and Midas Adin is the branch of the Klolius of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Atava, that whose job is to take care of somebody as a chote, to help rectify the situation and bring it back to good and so on. But when someone comes to destroy the foundations of Torah, then we're not looking for, it's not a branch of Torah, it's Torah itself that's being threatened. When someone comes along and he does this avera, that avera, the other avera, so fine, that's a lokim. But when someone comes along and says, Torah Samaish is not emes, which for all practical purposes destroys Torah, then he's hitting home at the dead center of what it is, and that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So anything to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. So if somebody would disregard what Yeshaya Navi came, and the guy disregards it. So disregarding Yeshaya is an avera of disregarding a Navi's instructions. He's not undermining Torah by doing that. But if he says Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu has got his own angle. So the minute you say that, then there is no Torah anymore. Because anything I don't like in Torah, I ascribe to Moshe Rabbeinu's personal agenda. So it's just like society appropriately punishes people who kill a policeman a lot more severely than they kill a civilian. It's not because a policeman's life is worth more than a civilian's life, but you're undermining the atzmius of authority and ability to control authority when you undermine the authority of a policeman. And then he says, "Ve'oma im briach yivar Hashem klayma v'im briach hadasho pela mefursim osa shen soliver dekoy shol vechnas manim v'shiftichani besinai nekam seflosh nivro yivar Hashem ato ki ato yigia shor ve'ezas Hashem feter secha." In other words, now is the time. If there is such a metzias where there can be a briach from Yudke Vavke, now's the time. Shein roish shetasan kamal de malach kima de Hashem amyuchad. Because this is not a time for a malach, because the malach is the wrong message. So it's like when somebody is out to destroy the state, he's an anarchist of some sort, to punish him for jaywalking or putting signs in the wrong place, whatever is wrong. You want to describe the point, which is the etzem merida and malchus. Ukinyan shekosov max becheres v'avash anugas mitzrayim v'dosh razal b'makai hi loy de malach le'sorav le'yishtiach ha'kashpoch batzim chfaydi v'achar kachoma v'yedatim hiskeloshin yediyah b'tchilas tvarav u'besayif tvarav kim yisrol yedabar tvarav elu v'yadua ki kishem sheloy nishalkasov max becheres v'chil Hashem b'dova b'shbarati sham kach illoy ira za'inesh b'kerf adosay nofater satar shenzchal. Rabbi Chaya says, you know, if we would have gone out of Mitzrayim by sneaking out the back door, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu making some minor nisim, there'd be Chil Hashem, because basically it's saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a way to sneak us out. Mitzrayim is powerful, Mitzrayim is great, Mitzrayim is this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got a little edge over it. It was either or, either HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacked Mitzrayim head on, at its strongest, as most powerful, or Chas V'Shalom, it indicates that Kadosh Baruch Hu is lacking something. Here also, we're not, it's like the Chazal we saw before, we're not coming with somebody that has a problem with a mitzvah avera. With the integrity of Torah. He's saying this Torah is written by Moshe Rabbeinu and reflects his personality. If you don't address it head-on, if HaKadosh Baruch doesn't address it by some sort of head-on retribution, it basically, there's a statement there that it's all, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom agrees in principle. Okay, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Bechaya. The next piece Rabbeinu Bechaya adds over here, a very, very profound understanding about the Korach and his Hadassah. Aval yesh lishol l'tmoa teima gadol b'yipashas al shein dvarim. And by the way, this is also a very good lesson in understanding the need for different parts of Torah. Whether the Rabbi Rebbe Chaya, when he addresses that parasha in Torah, he has like many tools at his disposal. He says al derech hapshat, val derech haseichel, val derech hamedrash, val derech hakabbalah. He lemaisa gives us different approaches, and different. What he said now is a basic nekuda, but now he's going to go into a deeper point. Moshe lemaisa himself was always a spalling klaisel of do tshuva. I mean, Egel and Meraglim are arguably the toughest ones. What happened? Why don't we have these tefillos of Moshe? I mean, if they would have done tshuva, certainly would be good. If they really had an honest sense of, Moshe is giving out all the jobs to like his brother, his nephew, his nieces. I mean, come on. So why didn't he take and make ois and meifis and turn them around? They were wise people. Just like, hey, he did in the end made a sign. At the end, they put in the sticks and they saw it. So that proof. So what's the problem? One, two. And even if they did it, why the small children? Like it says, Nishem Neim Atapam Vataf Masai Chotu Shantzagas Avlo. Okay, so the Merchaya says, V'omnam, Im Bikashnu Lahaloim Pashazub Derech HaPshat Yikshen Kol Zeis. In Pshat, these problems don't have a solution. Avl Iev Shalaholmo Ki'im B'Derech HaKabbalah Nemano. I can only understand it through Kabbalah. Now let's stop a second, let's talk about this point. Just to understand how the different pieces work. In math, for instance, you have different systems that are somewhat independent of each other. For instance, algebra exists as a system. Calculus exists as a system that doesn't... Yeah, I mean, a lot of the technical stuff is like algebra, but it's a whole new mahalach. It's a whole new math that has its own mahalchim, and it is different in algebra. And there are problems that can be solved in many different ways, through trigonometry, through equations, through longhand, sort of arithmetic-like calculations, and all of them work, and it's fine. Any one of them is correct. However, occasionally you have a problem that to do it with longhand arithmetic is impossible, and algebra is very cumbersome, and sometimes calculus offers us a solution that's neat and clear. Pshat is a full mahalach in Torah, makes a lot of sense, and should make sense, and the drash of different types and so on. Kabbalah is a mahalach that sometimes, occasionally you get a mahalach that only one thing really makes sense. In our case, whatever we'll say in Pshat as to why they were punished, it doesn't work. And we're going to have to get a sense of Pi Kabbalah what it is. Now, the biggest mistake people make when they say, it's very popular because Rebbes and Mekubalim and everybody, is when they take things from Kabbalah and they treat it like a bipshat. Somebody once was sitting at my father-in-law's table and on Shabbos, and my father-in-law was rumored to have to know Kabbalah. Very, very hard. I mean, he did have a set of Zohar, he had some others for him, but nobody, because my father never shared these things, so it's up in the air. But this person asked my father-in-law, why was it that Yaakov Avinu, how was he allowed to take the sheep from Lavan? And this person presented an argument where halachically he wasn't allowed to take the sheep that he said he would take, and so on. So, so it was like a pause, and then this person said he heard that al pi Kabbalah, that these sheep had the neshamas of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. So my father gave him a blank look, and he said, "So how was he allowed to steal the sheep?" In other words, you that answer, Kabbalah, is not a reason to excuse gzeila. Something has to make sense halachically, something has to make sense al pi Kabbalah, but you can't interchange them. All that helps us is get a sense of something. And that's why he's so reticent. Doesn't just say, well, I'll explain al pi Kabbalah. This is, I mean, you're raising a problem in Hilchis Pshat. Everything has to fit in Pshat. The only thing is, we have a sense that there's something more. It helps us understand there's a bigger picture. But to sort of interchange and throw Kabbalah and everything is wrong. So he says, "Veni roim ezri mazim." I'm going to give you some clues. Shman avata dalacha. Listen well, and you'll figure it out. Timtza bedora floga hava nivna lana ir umigdala vashar shemayim nasan Hashem. Oksiv behem zehi chilam lasis. So by the dora floga, it says that that they wanted to build up a tower, and this is only the beginning. It says, it's almost as if the pasuk says they had arisen before Moshe. So basically what he's saying is that these were neshamas that had of people that were quarrelsome people be'etzim. It wasn't a particular event that, you know, they were in a bad mood, he was upset, he got angry. These are neshamas of Bali Machlokas that had been passing through generation after generation after generation. And he says, and this was Dora Flogger, Dora Stoim, Anshe Stoim, and Anshe Korach. They said about themselves, even if you blind us, It's like I'm telling you, I know you. You hit. I felt your hitting. Someone had a son that's not doing well. First he yells at him, then he hits him. Third time he just gives up on him. So to Dora Flog it says, that was the beginning. Ma osay feeds him, he spread him out. Ansha stoim hikabasan verim. So lemaisa, what it means is that this wasn't the first time. They had reached a point where it was very clear that this is who they are and what they are. It's like Moshama Dava Daima. Imagine you have a therapist, and a person comes to him with a problem. I have a therapist in front of me. So a person comes with a problem, and he has this and this problem, and you work with it. At some point, you realize there are certain flaws that are built in and they can't be gotten rid of. You can get rid of a flaw that's come into the person. Sometimes this is the person, and we might understand why, whatever. So at the most we can do is give them a crutch to compensate with. But we're not going to, there's a point where you realize that's a stain that's not coming out. you know, it's like you have a stain on a garment, you try this, try this, this. At some point you say, no, it's dyed in and I have a choice. I can either live with it or throw it out. And this belongs to that big picture where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megalgal Neshamas, something we don't understand, but the bottom line of it is there is a process where things begin to be Misgalgal, where things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Mitak and Neshamas, the same essential personality that was the Dor HaFloga became Anshei Sdom, became Korach. There was a certain mob quarrelsomeness of people that are not willing to accept authority, even if the authority is Emes and so on. And that's why at this point there was no Mokum for Tefillah anymore, because they were gone. So, and then he brings a Sefer HaBoyer, which is sort of part of the Zohar, that says, Rekiva says, Ma'ed Chsiv Dorot Darba, Shekvar Ba, that sometimes a door that comes that already was here. And he brings a mashal that somebody had clothing, and dressed up his avodim clothing. They got it dirty. He went and he cleaned it, gave it to them again, and he wanted to see if they will able to keep it clean or not. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the same essential neshama and tries to recast it in different circumstances and see if it will, you know, if they'll do right or not. So the Rebbe Mechai adds that the parasha, let's take a look at the final paragraph in the Rebbe Mechai. Ma'ate yisbar lecha So now we're explaining why Moshe didn't bother to respawl, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt there's no hope for the kids. He brings a rather cryptic medrash. The word alomos, it's very hard. There's a song to Bnei Korach, Al Alomos Shir. What's the Alomos? Kach Amar Bnei Korach. Me Olam in Hein Advarim Shura'inu. The things that we witnessed and lived through have been there forever. Ve'ein on a Yodim Areinu. We don't know what we saw. All we know is that we didn't see something of that moment. We saw something that had passed through again and again. And this is something of an old process coming again and again. So again, Rabbi Nebuchai is telling us something. It's not like you put a finger on it. I want to give a mashal to this, and it's very important because the way people treat these things, they treat it wrong. Imagine you have a crime was done. We catch a culprit. We have evidence. We try. We show it the evidence, black and white, that he did it, and that's how the court, the jury rules. So we're very comfortable saying it has been proven that so is on and so on. Imagine it never got to that stage, but the investigator is intuitively very, very confident that so and so did it. He doesn't have the evidence, he can't bring it to trial. But he has a feel, just the way it was done, just something about it. So he's not right in going around telling people so-and-so did it. It's wrong because it hasn't reached the world of fact and display. But he is right in saying, I smell a rat here. You know, it's the work of somebody and so on and so forth. The Kabbalah, in the way he's giving it to us, allows us to get a sense of it. You know, Korach is a much deeper thing. It's not just about Korach. There's something going on here, an accumulation of much wrong that finally has come to its end. But to go around and you know, okay, you're a Gilgal of this guy, you're a Gilgal of this guy, you know, I'm going to make a tikkun for this, I'm going to make a tikkun for that. That's subverting the process. It's wrong. And look at the way Rabbi Mechai presents. Rabbi Mechai says, I'm going to give you a sense of something deeper going on. That's the way we look at it. Okay.